Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. I've got a great program lined up today. It's going to be an interesting program. Bottom of this hour, I have a gentleman, Dr. Sam Staley, who has written an article entitled, "Will Ron DeSantis's Feud with Disney Be His Political Undoing?" And so we're going to have a little conversation about whether or not he really believes that parents are going to are buying Disney's wokeness. And then we'll follow that with a gentleman by the name of Davy Liu. Davy Liu was an award-winning animator. He animated The Lion King, among other things, for Disney, and left Disney 25 years ago to start his own animation organization, literally after watching Roy Disney come into their department, find out what the people there had spent $23 million developing, which was an LGBTQ grooming cartoon series. He trashed it. Roy did. Trashed that. He threw away $23 million and fired everybody that was there that was a part of that. But as we know, they laid in wait for Roy to pass away, and then they came back. Davey left, and he talks about his experience with that on the program, and that'll be coming up next hour. And then, of course, our live India service as well. Well, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest to the program. He has an incredibly powerful story, and is a man of many diverse backgrounds and expertise. He's a four-star chef. Seriously. He's a four-star chef. He's a hunter. Look, if you're going to hunt it and you're going to clean it and you're going to get it ready to go into the kitchen, you might as well know what to do with it when you get it in the kitchen. And obviously, he's mastered that skill. He is a writer. He is a dad. He is a graduate of Liberty University. And I've really enjoyed even just the few moments that we've had to get to spend, to get to begin to know one another. And so I want to welcome to the program, Craig Delicio.
Perfect.
Did I do okay?
That's perfect. Thank you, Pastor Greg. You know, everybody struggles with my name. It's been butchered more than a side of beef, so I just don't even care anymore. Delicio is actually how you say it, so perfect.
Well, awesome. That was the Italian showing up in me.
There you go.
That was it. That's it. My grandfather was Attilio Demelli.
Oh, my goodness. They gave more than that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
My grandfather was Giuseppe Delicio.
Okay.
There we go. When he got here, but it was Giuseppe.
I love it. Well, first of all, welcome. Thank you so much for being with me. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here. Your book really touches on something that I think is so critically important to where we are culturally right now, and that is, you know, the significant influence that a father has on his kids, on their belief system, on how they face life, on all of those things, because we now live in a post-patriarchal, post-father world, unfortunately, and we're seeing the dramatic ramifications of that. Can you speak to that, Craig?
Oh, that's my daughter's 25, and she has told me, "Dad, you need to do a YouTube channel just to teach guys my age how to change oil and change a tire on a car." And it's sad because it's, you know, so many of her friends have no. Their dads have been gone since they were kids, and they're raised by daughters, or by moms. But the book is about the effect of, and in my case, it was both parents. It was, you know, my dad and my stepfather and my mom. There was rejection on all sides, and I had to grow up really quickly because of that. And I didn't learn how to be a child. And one of the things that a dad does, actually both parents do it, but we're aiming in the father direction. Mm-hmm. Is that you allow a child to be, you allow your child to be a child for a while. When you're there and you're present, they can be a child. They don't have to grow up quickly and not learn an important part of life. And it's spiritually, I paid a dear price for it. When Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and don't forbid them, because this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And if you don't become one of them, as one of them, you'll never understand the kingdom of heaven." That's a Craig paraphrase, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I get it.
That meant nothing to me. I glossed over that so many times because I had no paradigm for that. Like, I don't know what it feels like. I didn't know what it felt like to be a child. I had to grow up at about age four when my mother married my stepfather. My mother and father never got married. I only met my dad when I was 43. And you know, when Paul says, you know, we by the spirit of adoption, we cry Abba, Father.
Right.
That meant nothing to me. I mean, I'm not saying it. The verse was not powerful. It's just it didn't resonate with me because I've never cried Abba to anybody. My stepfather was. I thought that was my dad till I was 21. But as early as I can recall, there was no connection. I knew something was wrong. I would think to myself, why can't I get my dad to love me? Like, what's wrong with me? And I was a great kid. I was a great athlete. I was a straight-A student. I went to college and played collegiate hockey.
Oh, I was reading about that. I mean, there was you were, you know, the epitome of the kind of child it would seem that a parent would want to have. I mean, we all have our bailiwicks or whatever, you know, we all have our things that we do. But I mean, you know, for as far as making dad proud, you know, you were a star athlete, you know, you, all of the things that guys are into, you were into, and you did well with them. So then to feel like, okay, what's really going on here?
Yeah. And I didn't know that he wasn't my father. So I just kept struggling to win this person's affection that I thought was my dad and thinking, what do I have to do? I'm just, you know, I'm not in trouble ever. It set me up for, you know, when my dad would come home at night, my stomach would start hurting when I heard his truck pull up in the driveway. And I would go into my room and kind of wait. I would listen and wait and see what kind of mood everything was in before I'd come out of my room. And it was the same mother. I had to, you know, my radar was always up trying to figure out, how do I make my parents happy so they don't, you know, scream at me or worse. And when you're 4 years old, 5 years old, seven, whatever, and you're trying to figure out your parents, figure them out. Then you're not a child. A child can just run into the room full of joy from something they just saw on TV, or they can come in from outside playing with their friends for 3 hours and bring that happiness inside with them. And the parents usually will just gobble that up. It's never a bad thing. It's not supposed to be. But in my house, it wasn't. And that keeps getting squashed. So you have to just, you decide, well, the only way I'm going to get through all this is to act like them, be an adult. And that's great. I developed a work ethic very young. I was very independent from an early age. But when it came time to be a child of God, and I don't mean the salvation portion, but I mean being his son, learning what that means, what rights and privileges do I have as a literally a child of God, I had no idea. I had no paradigm. I'd never been able to trust a parent. I always felt like you're on your own. That's what I was told. And that's, I mean, from the earliest age, that's what I was told. And so I just thought, well, God probably feels the same way. And I was reading through Oliver Twist. I love reading classics. And I read Oliver Twist. And then I quote the scene in the book where Oliver asks for more. And in the book, it's way worse than the movie. I mean, he gets beaten with the ladle and kicked out of the orphanage for asking for more. And I started to cry when I read it. I thought, that's my life. That's my spiritual life. That's been my experience at home. I just felt like I don't ask God for anything. I don't trust him for anything. I don't even start to trust him for anything. I have to do it myself. And my opinion was that if I went for more, that's what was going to happen. I was afraid of, you know, being... I should be happy with the little thin bowl of gruel, as Dickens wrote, that was literally starving them all to death. They were undernourished. And, you know, well, you have this much, what are you asking for? That's how I live my life.
Wow. So talk to me, but if that's the paradigm, then you're living your life that way and not really aware of the damage that you're living in. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
That was normal for me.
Right.
That was my archetype. I had no archetype of what a child looks like at 4 years old. That's completely happy being a child, and parents that are, you just stay a child for a while. We got this. You don't have to worry about me. I never had, I had it until I was four. When my mom got married to my stepfather, my first 4 years of life, we lived with my grandparents, my mom's parents. And I was doted over. I was the first grandson or first grandchild. And, and my grandmother was homebound. She never learned to drive. So lived in Philadelphia in a little, wasn't a row home. Oddly enough, it was a little house by the airport. And I was her, you know, my mom went back to being a 20-year-old girl. We'd go out at night with her friends. And my grandmother was really my mom. And first 4 years were wonderful. I was a child there. And maybe that's probably just enough of a sliver to have gotten me through. But yeah, as I got older and I started wrestling with issues, about 6 years ago, I was doing a Bible study when I still worked at Liberty, and doing a study with a friend of mine. We were reading the Bible and reading through Henry Nouwen's last book, and something in that book, in a conversation, spurred that. It sort of burst out of me. Nathan, I don't know how to be a child of God. I never got the chance to be a child. I don't know what, I have no archetype for that. And that was the moment that I realized that's why all these things are wrong with me. And I mean, I was just never happy with my spiritual life. I was becoming something, a man I didn't want to become. I was turning, I joke around about, you know, Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, which is a great movie, but I was that
guy. It is a good movie.
It is. I was turning into Walt Kowalski, just like, I hate everybody, get off my lawn, leave me alone. That's never been my personality, but it had become that over the last like 20 years or so. And, you know, life takes its shots at you and,
sure, and
it'll extract its pound of flesh. But if you're healthy, then you can, you know, that's normal for everybody. Everybody goes through things. And, you know, we were talking prior to going on. We go through things. But if you come from a healthy spot, it's filed into that this is what happens, but it doesn't steal who you are.
Isn't the ultimate, though, and I hear everything you're saying, and I agree with you. Look, I was suicidal at 13. When I gave my life to Christ the very first time at the age of 13, I was on the verge of suicide. I'd written a suicide note. I called my mom at her office. I said, "You got about 20 minutes to get home, or I'm going to use Dad's shotgun." She sent the neighbor from across the street over. But my dad was a very severely emotionally abused only child, and he didn't know how to be a dad.
Yeah.
And he reflected that onto me. And so one minute I would be loved, and the next minute it would be horrific. And so I get that. My question is, when we get to the place to get that, to actually get that healing, there's really only one source, isn't there?
Yeah. I don't know how you could. I mean, what happened with me, I think, could probably bring some relief to somebody that wasn't a believer, but without the extra layer of, and this is what it looks like to be God's child. It's like, okay, well then I should have had that. I don't have it. Now what? Nothing. But with
bitterness or,
right.
Or,
right.
Or yeah, or what have you. Yeah.
I'll be 60 in September. When you're turning 60, I mean, what's the point of grasping your childhood? I mean, you're not a child anymore. But but in the context of, I grasp my childhood because I will always be God's child. You never grow up in that. You mature. Paul calls for us to be mature. But God always calls us his children. We always have a father-child relationship with him. It doesn't become peer-to-peer the way it does when we get older with our parents.
Right.
And so what happened with me was, I was half, three-quarters of the way through this book, and it was dark, and I had asked God before I even started. I said, "Don't you need to heal me first? Because I'm writing, it's all bad." And God said, "No, I'll heal you in the process of this. Because if I heal you first, it won't be urgent for you and it won't be raw. And people need to hear what it was like not cleaned up, because there's people out there that are hurting even worse than you were," which boggled my mind. There were times I wrote part of this, and a lot of bad memories, and I wrote stuff, and I would remember things that happened, and I would start crying. Like, how do you do that to a five-year-old boy? I mean, how do you say something like that? How do you do those things? But the moment that I finally, it was August of last year, and I was sitting on my couch about 4 a.m. I get up pretty early, and I was praying. I was like, "God, I can't go. I'm not going to write another word. This has been such a heavy burden, and I just need to know what it's supposed to look like. We haven't gotten there yet." And it absolutely, Holy Spirit took over and said, and I had this memory of my daughter, and it wasn't a vision of something that never happened. This literally did happen. I just forgot about it. My daughter was about 4, and she wanted a Barbie Jeep. She came running into my room. I was in my office section of my house. We lived in Tennessee at the time. And she comes running into my office and jumps up on my lap and says, "Daddy, can I have a Barbie Jeep?" And I think it was like October, and it was already on my radar because she was she had a Power Wheels already, and she was really into Barbie at the time. I thought about it. I think it's time. And I said, well, I can't go get one today. They were like $350 that long ago. So I said, I can't go get one today, but why don't we put it on your Christmas list and either Daddy or Santa will get this for you. And she gave me a big hug. She said, okay, that's fine. And she went back and watched TV, and it was like a Saturday morning. I think, you know, after that, we did our Saturday thing. But I remembered that happening, and I broke down in tears thinking, she ran into my arms. She didn't have to qualify anything. Daddy, I'll be good. Daddy, I'll make my bed. Daddy, I'll get good grades. Daddy, I love you so much. Will you do this for me? It was just, Daddy, can I have a Barbie Jeep? Like, she already knew. Like, she worked from the perspective, my dad loves me. The only reason he'll say no to this is if it's bad for me or he just absolutely can't do it. Other than that, it's a matter of when and how. And I realized that's how God sees me, and that I was not going to get the paradigm that I was looking for, the archetype for a father-son relationship, or father-child relationship, for being a child of God, was right in front of me all those years. Maybe that's the reason I was such a good dad. I had decided not to be a dad that I had, but to be the dad that I wanted. And I think, you know, I look back and I think that God was training me for the moment that he was going to use all that. Because I was, you know, I messed up a lot in my life. But I was a good dad. And I think my daughter would agree with that. And all of a sudden it made sense. Like, all right, that dad that you were, where she was never afraid to speak to you, never had to be silent, never had to come in happy and all of a sudden go to her room because her happiness would bleed over into your misery. All those things that I lived through, she never had that. She was 18 months old when we got divorced, and that really hurt her a lot. But as far as her time with me, she's really happy all the time. And that's where it broke through, that there was a paradigm for me. There was an archetype, and it was right in front of me, and it radically changed. I would say it saved my life. I don't know how much longer I would have never, like, maybe Brendan Manning used to say, there's three ways to commit suicide. You can take your own life, you can let yourself die, or you can live without hope. And I think option number three would have been what had happened to me if God had never dealt with all this.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned approaching 60. I'm 61 now. I know in the last few years that it seems like God brings up lots and lots of memories, mm-hmm. and just lots of reflection, lots of things that we, you know, just kind of think about and work through maybe, and maybe even wrestle with, mm-hmm. that are, I don't know, epiphanies. I maybe it's, you know, some of this white hair that we've got, right? You know, it's kind of like, okay, this is why we do this, so that way we can, you know, go back and help others along the path. The reason that, you know, we're still here to be able to, you know, share some of these things and transformations. How much, what did that do for you in opening you up for God to be able to then come in and start to grow you?
So the father aspect of, so it, what you said earlier about our vision of God, our fathers being missing, we project our father onto God. We always, as human beings, do that. That's why there's such a premium put on the fatherhood.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know who Ed Tandy McGlasson is, but Pastor Ed was a vineyard pastor in California for years. He's not the pastor anymore. He's got it's a parachurch ministry now, but that's all he teaches is being a good father. His ministry is called the Blessing of the Father.
Okay.
He came to a church when I was living in Tennessee. He spoke at our church in 2007. So that's been 16 years ago. It was life altering. And his message is how we need to heal the image of God in our life as our father, because we have such a damaged image and we can't call him father. It's very hard for us. That had been addressed with me. I knew he was a good father. I thought it was me. Like, he's a good father to everybody else, but I'm a bad kid. There's still something wrong. I was still projecting what my parents felt about me onto me, and could not comprehend just falling into his arms and asking for something just because it was something I wanted. And I'm not saying, you know, God, I want a Mercedes.
No, no, so no. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. And there is a balance. And I mean, you know, everybody gets after the word of faith kind of thing. And it's like, hold the phone. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater there. Exactly. Because yes, you do frame your world by your words. I mean, if Anthony Robbins can figure this out and make a whole lot of money doing it, why can't the church figure out that what he's doing is actually based in a scriptural principle?
Sure. It's just that there are people that take it to extremes.
So I agree.
Sure you're listening.
I agree. Yeah. No, we're good. We're good, brother. Yeah. We're good.
And I don't think it would be any fun if God was sort of my errand boy. If I could just say, hey, and it would appear. Why do I need a God? That's, you know, he's not that, but he's certainly more generous and loving than we give him credit for.
And he puts those thoughts in there. I think that's the other thing that we forget too. To will and to do for his good pleasure, but his good pleasure is actually for us. Jesus talking about the guy showing up late at night, right? Asking for the loaf of bread. You know what I'm saying? You know, would your father give you a stone? Of course not. He is going to bless you beyond the loaf of bread.
I quote that in the book, actually, and until I went through all this, I couldn't comprehend that. And now I do. Now I feel like, why would God, you know, God, Jesus himself said, look, God wants to lavish you. I mean, that's practically the words that he used. Like, God wants to lavish you, not spoil you, but lavish you. And the answer is going to be yes most of the time, unless it's something that's going to be bad for you, and God knows that. And it's functioning in that at that level now. It just takes, for one thing, it takes a big load off of me. I don't feel like I've got to, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm a 60-year-old man. I'm an adult male. I'm whatever. But there's still an element of being able to kick back and say, well, you're God. I have this salvation relationship with you for that very reason. I gave you my life and gave you control of it, but I keep, you know, wrestling you for control. And it's not because I think you're bad. It's just because I think you don't care. And all these wrong reasons to not just say, just, you know,
to trust, to just let go. Jesus, and I'll tell you, you know, well, I shared with you my little bit of my story, but you know, God worked with me for years, preparing me to have what I refer to as faith that perseveres.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, I mean, if you don't, you the events that happen, and it doesn't have to be as catastrophic as my event, but just the events that we go through, you're going to face a trauma that's going to be a big mountain for you. And if you don't learn how to have faith that perseveres, and that's a gift from God, it's a gift from the Father to be able to just grab a hold of his hand in those moments when you are surrounded by darkness and there is nothing else but that small little light, and that's it, and that's all you've got, and that's him.
Yeah.
It's a biggie.
And it's, the way I was raised, the church I was raised in, there was always crime and punishment. It was always, if something bad is happening in your life, it's, oh, God's trying to get your attention. God's always had my attention. I mean,
we got about a minute left, and I apologize for that. And so I want to get this in. Those of you that are watching can see this. Greg Delisio is the website, craigdelisio.com, DALIESSIO.
CDbookstore.com is much easier, and I'll get you there, too.
We'll do that, too. CDbookstore.com. Yeah, CDbookstore.com. And you can pick up, this is his brand new release, An Orphan in the House of God. An Orphan in the House of God. And if you've enjoyed the conversation, you're going to enjoy the book even more. And I hope that you'll pick up a copy of it today. Craig, I thank you for being with me today.
I really hope
you've enjoyed the conversation. I certainly have. And I really believe my audience has been so blessed by it. Hang tight for just a second. Folks, I got to jump into the commercial break. Dr. Samuel Staley is with us next. And we will talk about woke Disney. And can you lose your political career fighting a pedophile grooming organization? I mean, yeah, being on the side of the pedophiles. I don't know. I have to figure out what this guy's got to say. All right, we'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have Clanslight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. Clanslight is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
All right. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Okay, so here's the deal, and I'm going to say this with my guest here. So I was reading your article, and I was kind of poking a bit at, you know, the idea that somehow we would argue, I don't know, for woke Disney. But I don't think that's really what you're doing here. I don't get that from your spirit, from now meeting you face to face. My sense isn't Dr. Staley is some hidden radical kind of liberal undercurrent thing. I don't get that. Yeah. I think the question here is what are people going to prioritize when it comes to this fight? And I think that ultimately, Dr. Staley, that's the battle we have. When I talk to people about what I believe are foundational issues, traditional family values, the homosexual agenda, abortion, what have you, I get, those are just social issues. We're really more concerned about the fiscal issues.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
So I think, I mean, first of all, I'm a Christian. I mean, so, and I'm very convicted of my faith. So I am not interested in sort of supporting any of the, you know, whatever the woke agenda might be, within certain parameters. I'm also an educator. What concerned me about what's happening with Disney is I also believe in a secular state that's based on certain principles that actually allow us the freedom to practice our religion, to sort of live the life that we want, but also rooted in rule of law and a protection of property rights and the ability of business to actually meet the needs of their customers. And part of that is ensuring that we each are able to live our lives as we feel are necessary and not to worry about going into the public arena and then having retribution because we happen to be voicing an opinion that's separate from whoever is in power, whether it's Republican or Democrat. The case with Disney is actually more complicated than a lot of people realize because Disney for decades was actually a great citizen of the state in a lot of very important ways. And the particular way in which the governor has gone after Disney is very retributive. And that concerns me because I don't want to live, and I think our country is not set up in a way to live where if someone who disagrees with me is now going to use the power of the state to try and quash my business or even my beliefs and take me out of the public realm. So this was in my view, this is a very retributive type of action. And frankly, as someone who is very, very, I mean, my academic training is in state and local public finance and economic development. I think it was poorly thought out and it's just bad policy. Actually, this was taking a lot of burden off taxpayers, and we're actually now, as Floridians, going to bear a bigger burden to support the infrastructure around these amusement parks than we were before. So my concern is on a number of different levels. I'm not actually supporting Disney in terms of it, whatever its agenda is, but
that's good. And I appreciate you, making your case. I mean, that's the whole purpose of it, of our conversation is so people can get a better understanding of the thought process on this. And so we can have a conversation about it. My concern as it relates to this is that corporations through diversity, equity, and inclusion, through environmental, social, and governance, through those policies, which are government policies, by the way, those policies have weaponized corporations against parents in particular. And the issue of this bill was mislabeled by media, misstated by Disney, but there's a really clear cut reason as to why Disney felt that it was necessary for them to stand behind this and essentially so what they did Disney in my opinion started this fight. I've got a quick little video piece that kind of shows what their statement was. But they said Florida's HB 1557, also known as the Don't Say Gay Bill, should never have passed and should never have been signed into law. Our goal as a company is for this law to be repealed by the legislature or struck down in the courts, and we remain committed to supporting the national and state organizations working to achieve that. And then in another piece that has come out that reflects what these individuals are saying, and let me
I agree, and I think that they started this fight in that sense. However, they also backed down very quickly. And in fact, what was interesting about this is most of the retribution came after there was a very, very strong pushback against Disney internally as well as externally. And the governor is continuing to go after Disney, even though they backed down.
But I would argue, Dr. Staley, that they didn't back down. And here's why I say that. Because they have continued to say, we are going to groom your kids. We are focused on grooming your kids. 50% of all new creation and shows and programming is designed to groom your children. Grooming your kids is our target audience. That's their own words. And I have a gentleman coming on in the next half hour who's a former Disney animator who left them 25 years ago. And do you know why? Because he was the animator for Lion King. And there were individuals in that creative department that spent $23 million creating an entire cartoon project that was designed to push the LGBTQ agenda. Roy Disney caught wind of it, came down into the department, demanded to see all the material they were working on, scrapped it. They spent $23 million on it. He trashed it and fired every single one of them.
Okay, so I mean, one, I can't speak to the creative part of Disney. What I can speak to is the political economy of what's happening at this point in Florida with what the governor is doing. If, in fact, I'm not going to use the term grooming because that's a term that has lots of different meanings depending on where you are. However, what we should do if we don't like the company is do what we do it the old-fashioned way, as we boycott them. We don't use the power of the state to crush them or to discipline them. And that's what's happening in the case of Florida. And let me go back to this. I mean, it's very, if you look at the sequence of events, when the Disney stepped into the space in the legislature, and by the way, it's not like Disney's not been engaged in the legislative process. They've had one of the biggest lobbying arms of any organization or corporation in the state for decades. But what you saw happening is the CEO got significant pushback, and the public affairs department got completely upended because they completely misread what was happening in Florida, and there was accountability very quickly. They were fired, which is what should happen.
But they weren't all. Let me let you listen to. You said that you weren't sure if they were actually doing this. So here's what they said.
I love Disney's content. I grew up watching, you know, all of the classics. They have been a huge, like, informative part of my life. But at the same time, like, I worked at small studios most of my career, and I'd heard, you know, you hear whispers. Like, I'd heard things like, oh, you know, they won't let you show this at a Disney show. And I'm like, okay. So I was a little, like, sus when I started. But then my experience was bafflingly the opposite of what I had heard. On my little pocket of, like, you know, proud family Disney TVA, the showrunners were super welcoming. Meredith Roberts and like our leadership over there has been so welcoming to like my like not at all secret gay agenda. And so like I feel like I felt like
not at all secret gay agenda, not at all. And right. she is one of the leaders talking about the other leadership at Disney whose focus is to push and promote. Now, let me tell you what they're promoting. A media campaign to promote the gay victim image should make use of symbols which reduce the mainstream sense of threat, which lower its guard, which enhance the plausibility of victimization. In practical terms, this means that jaunty mustachioed muscle men would keep very low profile in gay commercials and other presentations, while sympathetic figures of nice young people, old people, and attractive women would be featured. it almost goes without saying that groups on the farthest margin of acceptability, guess what group is on their margin of acceptability, Dr. Staley?
It could be a number of them, but
it's called NAMBLA. Are you familiar with NAMBLA?
Yeah,
that's the North American Man Boy Love Association. Yeah, that's pedophiles, and they support pedophilia, and they want pedophilia for the kids. They want pedophiles to have sex with your grandchildren. I don't want that, and any corporation that is engaged in that, I believe that all tools necessary, including, because remember that these are elected people who were elected to do the will of the people. Ron DeSantis won in Florida by a wide margin. I am in contact. I'm a grassroots person here, but I'm in touch with grassroots all across the country. And in Florida in particular, that's where one of our strongest grassroots organizations exist. Grassroots people in Florida, video after video, are furious with this agenda that targets kids. And corporations like Disney that are doing this, that's why Disney's stock is dropping. Bud Light's stock is dropping. Target stock is. So I'm confounded to find what you're suggesting in light of the fact that all of these entities and organizations, and look what's happening to Sounds of Freedom. Look what they're trying to do to that movie. I mean, and Disney, and by the way, once again, who was it that held it up for 5 years and wouldn't distribute it?
There are two things that we should distinguish here, right? One is whether or not we think Disney and its creative agenda is something that we'd agree with or actually want to try and change in one way. And as you're saying, their stock is dropping. We also know that their streaming service is really struggling, that type of thing. The other question is whether the state, because a company has engaged in the political process, now should be the subject of retribution because of the way it engaged in that process.
But that's a very static way of approaching the situation. And the reality is that it touches much more close to home than this clean washing. Right. What you're talking about, and I get it. You're voicing an opinion, and you said I'm for a secular government. America was not founded, in my opinion, as a secular nation. We were founded as a Christian nation, predicated on the Declaration of Independence, predicated on our rights coming from God. And when you talk about law is based in morality. If you throw away the morality, then you have no rule of law. Law becomes subjective to man's whims.
Right.
And when you talk about, again, when you reference government or the state or what, there is no state. There is no government independent of the people. And if there is, then it's not our constitutional republic. And it's not the government that I believe in or argue a fight with. I do believe that we live under tyranny right now. I believe we have a tyrant sitting in Washington, D.C. I believe we have tyranny amongst the administrative state. I don't believe we live in a constitutional republic, and that those of us that are free-loving, fighting for, God-fearing, a biblical worldview, freedom and liberty, are fighting to reestablish that, hey, it's we the people. And I think that's why so many people enjoyed Donald Trump, who would say, I'm here to give this country back to the people it rightfully belongs to.
So the question then, we're going into so many different things.
Well, we are, but it engages all of those.
It is engaging. The question then, it is true that values are critical to democracy and how it functions. The question, though, becomes where is the limit to which the state, meaning the government, and the way I'm using it, is then used to pursue and punish those that are no longer in sync with where the government is at that point in time.
Disney's free to go to any of the other 50 states and go do whatever they want to do. Here's the issue, Dr. State. I'm sorry, but here's the issue, though. Again, you keep referencing the state or the government as if it's something separate from the people. The people have two ways to have their will done when it comes to commerce. One is the decisions they make in the purchases that they make. But the second one is in electing and putting in place representatives that will legislate the way that they want the state to that they live in, and the rules and the laws and the morality that they want in their state. It's why 32 states have still sitting on their constitution today that marriage is between a man and a woman. And it ticks me off that we've got yellow-bellied governors that won't stand up and attorneys general that won't stand up and legislatures that won't stand up when the constitution of the states of the people is very clear.
Well, one of the things to keep in mind on the Disney part of it is that every poll I have seen of Floridians have favorable attitudes toward Disney, 60% or more.
Which poll?
What happened with this North Florida polls. When they're asking on these issues, and I can go through a number of different issues, it's very unclear whether this current state legislature is in fact following what the general public in Florida prioritizes. And we can go into a number of different polls on that. And actually, it's really quite stunning in terms of the difference between on a lot of these issues. However, here's the thing. In the way the governor has currently gone after Disney, and Disney is much more than just movie content. I mean, first of all, we have 80,000 employees in Florida that work for Disney, which leverage tens of thousands of more jobs as well. Most of that is around the amusement parks. It's not actually around. And in fact, Disney has canceled moving creative, high paying jobs to Florida, and they're now going to stay in California, which many people might be fine with because they are probably going to be more liberal than the current group and the current people in Florida. But here's the thing. In Florida, Disney backed out of the political process on this issue, and Bob Iger has said that Disney engaging on that issue was a mistake. And in fact, they're trying to extract themselves from that. What's happening is the governor has gone in and is trying to reset the entire system, or the entire process in which they engage in providing core infrastructure for the amusement parks and other things. Prior to this, the district that the governor has and actually the legislature has replaced, there was actually used as a model of how we can privatize land use planning and growth management. And virtually by all metrics, Disney was very successful in essentially providing high quality infrastructure and doing it in a way that minimized exposure to taxpayers in that as well. There are lots of businesses that engage in things that I don't agree with, but I don't believe that. But what we have here is a retributive system that is specifically used to punish people that engage in the political process when there are disagreements that with the people in power. I have issues with that. And as a Christian, I would also agree that all of our civil liberties are based on a natural rights principle, which is very much embedded in a Christian worldview. And I think we can find lots of examples in scripture, particularly in Jesus's teaching, that talk about the importance of that. But that's not the same thing as saying that we want a particular version of Christianity implemented through government. And so I'm all in favor of boycotting and not going and patronizing Disney.
So here,
so that's not an issue in my, what I'm saying is that it's not, and it's not even just like a, it, and this is where there's a debate I have with actually the Independent Institute founder as well. Once someone enters the political process, they decide it's a mistake, and then they pull out of the political process, should the state continue to pursue them and do punish them, even when they are trying to extract themselves, when they have extracted themselves from that, which is what happened in the case of Florida.
Time out, and we're going to run out of time here, but, and this is great. I appreciate you engaging in this conversation. This is really good stuff. Here's the thing. Someone's political view, someone's morality is pushed on culture. It's funny when somebody says, well, I don't, you know, you can't legislate morality, but that is exactly what's happened. Morality, legislation is law. Law is predicated on some form of moral code, period.
I agree with that.
Period. Okay.
I agree with that.
So do we want to live in a moral code that introduces a form of sexual chaos and perversion that teaches that pierces the conscience of a child? All this bill said I don't think the bill went far enough, but all this bill says is you can't show explicit pictures to a four-year-old and show them how to shove somebody's fist up their asshole. You can't do that. And anybody who stands with that, I'm sorry, I am like, you know what? You got a problem, buddy, and you're going to have a problem with God. And I don't want to be standing next to you because the lightning's about to come down and he's going to toast you. And that's only the beginning.
Yeah. And I am not going to defend Disney's entrance into this political. Actually, I think that's the problem.
But
they did not understand what the bill was actually saying.
But they're in it. They're in it. Even if they say, oh, well, we're not going to go after legislation. The fact that their people are still out there to this day, to this moment, these individuals in the video that I just showed you, they haven't been fired. Disney hasn't changed direction. Right. Disney hasn't changed its focus, its policy, its efforts, it's all of it. It's still, it's shoving CRT, it's pushing 1619, it's pushing the woke, whether it's movies or programming, and it's open and it's blatant, and they are after our kids.
Then let's go after that. Not after not dismantle.
What's the difference?
It's a huge difference.
Not dismantle the company?
No. What we should be doing is pushing against Disney on those creative aspects. We should not be undermining the growth management system and land use system in order to push
But some would argue, and we're going to run out of time. We're going to run out of time. And thank you. But some would argue that the whole, I mean, there's been pushes against the whole Reedy agreement for years and years, long before this ever happened. Yeah. Okay. And that was
mainly
because it basically said, well, sure. Okay.
Mainly by the left.
Well, that's kind of hilarious, isn't it? But it said that Disney, and it is a fact, Disney was governing itself. They were a state within a state.
Right.
And that a corporation in that situation, and this was a danger that some on the right were saying, if Disney goes in whatever direction Disney goes, that in and of itself is dangerous. So to your point, the original situation was dangerous, and we run out of time. Dr. Staley, I this is great. Hey, thank you so very much. Right. Real quick, how do folks follow you? 20 seconds, please.
I'm on Twitter if they want to follow me. So at Sam R. Staley. I blog pretty consistently at the Independent Institute, which is where you found me,
yes.
independent.org. I'm at Florida State University. I'm all over the web, Sam Staley, Florida State University. You can find my email.
Okay.
All sorts of things. So
excellent.
That type.
All
thank
right.
you very much.
Pastor. Hey, no, really, thank you very much. Absolutely. Right. It was a blessing. God bless you.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line?
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. I want you to watch this video, and this is just to give you an idea. This is what we're talking about. Watch this.
Interpret that as you will, but it looks like Disney's saying, hey kids, men can have periods too. Is that exactly correct? And even if you think that it is that a message for two-year-old children?
These are the tampons I usually use.
Thank you.
I prefer pads. They're more comfortable for me.
Thank you.
I always get the ones with wings.
Thank you.
Get them scented and bleach-free if you can.
Thank you.
Yo, my daughter loves these.
Thank you.
These might be easier if it's her first period.
Thank these you. Are really environmentally friendly.
That's a clip from Disney's upcoming show, Baymax. And if you look closely, there is a transgender flag on what appears to be a biological female who thinks that she is a man. This show is for kids as young as 2 years old. So nobody can come to me and tell me that Disney does not have an...
And there we go. 2 years old. Well, I want to welcome to the program a former award-winning animator for Disney, KenDoKids.org founder, Davey Liu. Davey, welcome. Good to have you. Thanks for being with me today.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me, Pastor Greg, and hello to everybody.
Ah, we're great. We're great. We'd be a lot better if we weren't having to address this issue.
I know you never thought, right? Cute little cartoon can have such a big impact to our children.
Well, the overall grooming that's going on with regards to Disney and what they're doing to influence children. But you know, we've known this. Years ago, I was mentioning to you in the break as we were getting ready to come in. We have family. He actually was an accountant for Disney years ago, about 25 years ago, thereabouts. Maybe about 25 years ago. And our older kids, we used to take them, you know, to the Disney park and all of that. And it was probably about 20 years or so ago was the last time that we ever went to the Disney park.
Wow. Well, you're a way of a pioneer. You understand the temperature where they were going. I mean, I keep warning people when I was in development at Disney in 1998 that, you know, their agendas, and a lot of people underestimate the power of this dark children's ministry that is running the world with the happiest place on earth. And you did until 25 years later that, now every parent, I go to homeschool conferences here and there, and I see every parent's now just all boycotting Disney.
Well, and you know, they've obviously, I think that they've overplayed their hand, but now the evidence is coming out more and more. You mentioned in 1998 that you were seeing this already beginning to develop at Disney. What percentage now of their effort is focused towards this agenda, do you think?
So there's a conference that happens every year. It's called GLAAD, and these are the major children's network. They come together, they meet in major cities, and they talk about how they can put more LGBTQ, LASTXYZ stuff into children's programs. So every major network, Nickelodeon, anything you can think of, Cartoon Network, they are hounding and putting the main driven character. So Disney right now, they have 27% that they're going to be driving by 3 years from now. They are going to have the lead character, the hero character, the main characters as the twisted children's agenda. They're going to be the hero. The LGBTQ characters are going to be the hero characters for Disney. And that is really their goal right now. So the norms, which is the traditional family, are going to be set aside as the not the norm. So, you know, they got the biggest microphone. And that's, I think, the parents being aware of it. We need to be a cowboy about it. We can't let them lead us like a cow, but we got to wear our cowboy hats and think about how we can. As you know, I go to homeschool conferences, parents, it's like I'm fighting at home just with my kids because my kids want to watch Disney Plus. But then parents, you know, they'll cut everything. Then they, at night, they'll sneak up on someone else's, their friend's account to watch Disney. It is hard to stop this freight train that has left the station 100 years ago for our Americans.
Well, let me play another piece. This is another one of the exposés from that Zoom meeting that they had. Let's just give this one a listen.
It's like, I love Disney's content. I grew up watching, you know, all of the classics. They have been a huge, like, informative part of my life. But at the same time, like, I worked at small studios most of my career, and I'd heard, you know, you hear whispers. Like, I'd heard things like, oh, you know, they won't let you show this at a Disney show. And I'm like, okay. So I was a little, like, sus when I started. But then my experience was bafflingly the opposite of what I had heard. On my little pocket of, like, you know, proud family Disney TVA, the showrunners were super welcoming. Meredith Roberts and, like, our leadership over there has been so welcoming to, like, my, like, not at all secret gay agenda. And so, like, I feel like I felt like it was, I mean, like, maybe it was that way in the past, but I guess, like, something must have happened in the last, like they're turning it around, they're going hard. And then all that, like, momentum that I felt, like, that sense of I don't have to be afraid to, like, let's have these two characters kiss. Let's in the background. This, like, I was just wherever I could, just basically adding queerness to, like, if you see anything queer in the show, I'm proud of them. But, like, I just was like, no one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
David, you know, she's saying that she thought that when she got there, that, you know, her understanding was, oh no, Disney's not doing this. Disney's not behaving that way. Disney's not embracing that, is how she, you know, that was the appearance. But then out behind the scenes, she was like, oh my, they're all down with this. They don't have any problems with this whatsoever. Yeah. It sounds to me from what you were just saying that this is just exactly what you were just talking about, that you know, basically the general public had this entire, you know, misconception, if you will, that Disney was family oriented, family based, all of this kind of stuff, and yet the reality is that behind the scenes they were already way down the road on inserting this, and as she said, my agenda is to groom your kids.
Yeah. So in Disney, when we develop stuff, we have a 10 to 20 years forecast. So, you know, same thing with The Lion King, with Mulan, you know, these are all little intentional about, you know, broadcasting their brand in the different nations, you know, with the Chinese, with Mulan, and with African, Black American, with The Lion King. So they're very intentional about all their stuff. And then I literally was up on the top floor developing, and there was this project called Wildlife. And at that time, the nephew of Walt Disney, Royal Disney, he's a traditional family guy. And he was upset that Disney wasn't making The Lion King anymore. You know, everything they make, it was just, you know, they spend hundreds of millions in the animated film, and they wouldn't make the money that what Pixar at the time was doing. Pixar at that time was doing Finding Nemo. They were doing Toy Stories. And Royal Disney, you know, he was pissed. He came up to the development and he told the head of the development, said, show me what you guys are developing the next 10, 15 years. So one of these gay films, it's called Wildlife. He saw it. I tell you, we were there. We saw him. We saw Royal Disney. He cussed on top of every foul language there is and threw his pipe across the theater. And he said, who in the world is the one who decide to use my uncle's money to develop this crap?
Wow.
So instantly, those guys were fired right there in the theaters, okay? And this is 25 years ago, Pastor Greg. Royal Disney is not here anymore. But, you know, the spirit of that in that creative floor is still there. I don't know what it is about these main people that, you know, the VP and the all of his big cheese and executive at Disney. They all had their own little issues of, you know, the LGBTQ stuff at home. And I understand that they want to pamper their children's so that their kids could look normal in the society. But it's because of that kind of empathy that they have has toxic the Disney's content in such a twisted way.
So you're saying that Roy Disney was in favor of this or not? Oh,
He was really upset. Now, at that time, in Disney, an animated film takes 4 years.
Okay.
Now, this gay transvestite film, that they already spent $23 million in development, right?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So Disney could afford it. Last year, Disney has spent $28 billion in developing new children's content. And out of that $28 billion, 27% are developing the LGBTQ
Here's another piece to add on to this, folks. Just people, we've got to understand this. And I know my last guest was talking about how Ron DeSantis is gonna, you know, lose and destroy his political career by fighting against this. And I'm just stunned that anyone would take that position. This is a direct assault on grooming children.
Yeah.
Space.
Yeah. I've had the privilege of working with the Moon Girl team for the last 2 years, and they've been really open to exploring queer stories. And I'm on the production side. Part of the work that I feel like I can put in is making sure that we take place in modern day New York. So making sure that that's like an accurate reflection of New York. So I put together like a tracker of our background characters to make sure that we have like the full breadth of expression. And we got into a very similar conversation, Carrie, of like,
I'm not sure if that's a delay on my end or if that's a delay on, I'm gonna hold that. I don't want to take a bunch of time with it spinning the load. But you get the idea, folks. They are openly going after our children. Now, you left there 25 years ago, 1998, yep. Because you had reached a place where you said God convicted you that this was wrong. This whole agenda, everything that they were focusing on, everything you saw them, you saw where that department was going, where the underlings, and they were waiting for the traditional value people to basically die off so that they could institute their agenda, which was the perversion of children.
Yeah. So again, you know, they don't see it as a perversion, okay? They really see it as you know, they don't see it. So I get the fact that they are just, again, they're not the enemy. Behind that enemy is the greater enemy.
It absolutely,
spirit of Lucifer that is getting to our children, and that's the part that I think every parent, every audience listener needs to rise up and really not just besides boycott. We need to provide an antidote. We need to have an option. I know that there's many people that boycott Disney. So the Lord has 25 years ago says, Davey, I want you to leave Disney so you can build an arc of wonderful, wholesome entertainment content that is based on traditional family, but it has a biblical values. So 25 years ago, I've been getting on this journey, Pastor Greg. It's just really, how do I use, you know, the story of Lion King, the story of Moses. Everybody's seen that film. If you don't know, every pastor, 95% of pastors in North America have used the Lion King as the parables in their sermons. So you can see the power of biblical gospel in animated form and animations, you know, and that even kids can embrace the biblical value in the story of the Lion King. So can do kids start it? We want to really build the same quality as what we have done. A few of us that left the Disney, that we want to build an animated film that is based, center on God's love for children and God's biblical value.
And so you started working on Kindu Kids. You started developing, and on the set around you is the a lot of the animation that is that is associated with this. Talk to me about some of the things that folks can get and can expose their children to at Kindu Kids.
Yeah, so at Kindu Kids, I developed this film. It's called The Giant Leap, and it's about how Animal discovered Noah's Ark. Because, you know, it, for me as a kid, I always wonder what was Noah doing in 120 years? Was the animal he collected one species, one male, one female? And the Bible says in Book of Genesis says these animal came 7 days before the flood. So I was so inspired as a creator. I thought we got to make a film about these animal, how they saw the Noah's Ark. So The Giant Leap is our first animated film that we have developed. I had developed 1995. I sold the rights to the Warner Brothers, and then the rights came back to me. And we now are in this thing for making it into a feature animated film. And we have the major investors from the major In-N-Out Burger in California as our investor. So you can go to kindukids.org. You'll see the slate of the books that we have. Currently, it's the Giant Leap. And then we have Following the Summer. Every summer, we're going to have a biblical animated film. Looks just like Disney Pixar, except they have Christian biblical values. And the second one's a Firefish. It's a fish perspective of Moses parting the Red Sea. We have a 12 animated film in the next 12 summer. So you can see all our books on our website at kindukids.org.
All right. You talk about going to the homeschool conventions and that parents are beginning to, you know, to really become quite vocal about this. Do you think that the church itself, because I know the United Methodist Church has you know, just had another split. I think 6,000 congregations have walked away from the United Methodist Church as a direct result of their embrace of the LGBTQ plus agenda. Talk to me about your thoughts with regards to what you're seeing in these homeschool conventions.
Pastor, 1995, I was going to the church at Pasadena, and the high school pastor at that time, this is Lion King released it 2 years later, and at that time, the pastor says, the North Americans, the kids that go to church, the traditional family value, the kids that go to church, that they have 18 years of, you know, Sunday school, and then maybe VBS and kids camp. After 4 years of college, whether Christian or secular, only less than 5% retain their faith. This is 1995, Pastor Greg. That tells me our church is not doing a good job. I don't care what denomination it is. I mean, we're not doing a very good job with that 18 years that they were only able to go to church. An average kid in 1995 go to church 15 minutes a week. In 1995, statistic, every kid in 1995 watched 7 movies a week. That means 2 hours per movie, so that's 14 hours of entertainment. 15 minutes of biblical preaching, Sunday school, babysitting, you call it, with 14 hours of nonstop Cartoon Network, Disney, whatever. Not to say that nowadays, 2023, we got more than just TV. Imagine all the social stuff, YouTube, everything that they can get a hold of, that they can see it in the glint of a little tube called cell phones. These kids now is less than 3%, maybe even less than 3% retaining their faith. So to answer your question, Pastor Greg, you know, how are we doing your church? How are you doing with your children's ministry? Is the kids, is your number priority? You know, I love Jesus says, you know, let the children come to me. And the verse after that is, do not hinder them. Do not hinder them. Wow, that word stood out to me. Because who's hindering them? The world is. But how are we doing at church? How is the 95% that lost their faith in that 4 years in college, that they embrace the liberal and the world view instead of their Christian traditional family values? So I think there's something that we need to change, that we need to rethink about children's ministry. We need to think about children's ministry. Cannot be 15 minutes a week. We need to think about children's ministry. It has to have parents locking arms with the churches and community so that these kids are Monday to Sunday, that they are engaging the biblical gospel. They are being talked about at home. They're seeing something. And then when you have world, I mean, how can you, the battle that I have at homeschool is parents says, I try to boycott Disney. And then my kids keep on wanting to watch Disney because they say, mommy, you watch Disney when you're growing up. Why couldn't I watch them? How do you explain to a 5-year-old? They couldn't understand. And
isn't it also the quality options? I mean, the options that are out there are, you know, Disney is still coming up with very high quality production, they're drawing people in, you mentioned just a little bit ago that, you know, that they don't seem to think there's anything wrong with what they're doing. They think that what they're doing is the right thing. Along that line, it seems pretty obvious as well that their focus is kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I mean, they've prioritized going after the children. Why do you think that is?
Well, they're the biggest children's brand. I mean, when I started my internship in Disney in 1990, they said, you know, we're not about making a cartoon. We're about making the biggest advertisement for children's brand. An animated film is just the most expensive advertisement. And that timeless children's decades and century, they'll be watching Disney until Christ returns. They didn't say that, but they know an animated film, it will drive. I mean, look, Lion King, it took 45 millions to make. Lion King had made $14 billion in what? Not in box office, not in ticket sales. From those infinites of kids from now, today, forever and ever to come, kids are always going to love the story of the Lion Kings. Mm-hmm. They recognize everything they made is timeless. But the biggest problem, Pastor Greg, I want to bring to our audience, it's that the Christians, I don't know who that is, but when I'm looking for investors to invest in an animated film that costs $35 million to make that has an eternal impact like The Lion King, you got Christian looking at me, Davey Luke, going, you're nuts. You're nuts. $35 million, that's crazy. Do it for $3 million, right? But Disney, an animated film, it costs them $250 million.
You know, can I speak to that for a minute? Because I was in this industry. I had a Christian record label. I used to go to Tim Story's Hollywood Bible Study years ago. I don't know if you ever went to that or not. But I talked to a lot of the people that were in the industry, you know, the Smokey Robinsons and the Eric LaSalle's and the different ones. And one of the things that they all would say to me is that, you know, we're ready. We want to get in. We want to use our creative juices to create good, wholesome, you know, Christian content and so on. But the problem is the quality. We're not going to attach our name to junk. Yeah. And so you've got the Christian community out here, okay, that basically is like, well, we don't, you know, why can't you do it for, you know, why can't you make this cup for, you know, 50 cents, exactly. You know, but if the world makes this cup for 10 bucks, they'll pay 30 for it.
Exactly.
But if a Christian does it, as soon as it says that it's a Christian product, oh, they want a discount. They want to pay less. They want to, and they don't understand that you can't put a 50 cent cup up against a $10 cup.
Exactly.
And expect the same results. You can't.
So I was book signing on my first book, The Giant Lead, in Barnes Noble. A kid came up to me, 13-year-old, a Christian kid came up and says, sir, thank you for making your books not look like a Christian book. I love that. I thought that was the greatest compliment that I ever had.
Right? That was, and we are going to run out of time, but that was one of the things that was said about Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ.
Right.
Thank you, Mel Gibson, for creating a film that didn't look like a cheesy Christian film.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's interesting to me, when they did the Nicolas Cage Left Behind.
Mm.
That was a cheesy film.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. Seriously. And that tells you what Hollywood thinks about the Christian audience, by and large, that they will buy cheesy. Kirk Cameron's Left Behind, honestly, now in retrospect, you go back and you look at that, that wasn't bad. That really, that was decent cinema. You know, it was well acted, and it was decent cinema. Did they have all the high end tech stuff and all that? No, but it was decent cinema.
Yeah.
And my goodness, man, we've got to do a better job of that. KinduKids.org. We got about a minute and a half, I think, maybe 2 minutes tops left. How do folks invest with you to help you to get to that mark? You're halfway to where you need to be.
Yeah, so I have a 17 million committed out of the 35. I am still 18 million short from getting this animated film. It takes 2 years. So if you want to you want to invest in something that has a kingdom return and also also have an earthly return, you can just reach out.
When you look at something like The Chosen, when you look even at you know, Sounds of Freedom that has now been released, it was released by a studio that, you know, 6 years ago could never have done what they've done today. We know crowdfunding works. We know that there's people out there, average folks like us, that have the ability to put down $50, $100, $1,000, what have you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just ask right now, you said that you own the cattle on a thousand hill, and I pray, you said you would supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory. So I ask, Father, right now, there will be someone that will see this, watch this, hear this, that will say, yes, yes, yes. And I ask you, Father God, right now, to put my brother Davey together with the investors so that, Lord God, this can all come to fruition for the sake of the children, for the sake of the children. We ask this now in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Absolutely. God bless you, brother. Folks,
thank you, brother.
We're out of time for today. Stay tuned, though. I will be back in about 4 minutes. We'll be going live in India over Skype for our India outreach service that we do each and every Thursday. So don't go anywhere. That is coming up. Live service in India last week, 47 salvations, 29 miracle healings. God moved in that village, broke the power of the gangsters, broke the power of the Satanists in the village that we were in just last week. He's going to do it again. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.